I'm giving Jeb's basement renovations 1 star. He kept asking me what's behind the walls down there. I'm like, why? What do you know?
No matter how hard you work for your small business, online reviewers will find something to complain about.
And then he's like, you can trust me with the job. And I'm all like, trust?
And while Progressive can't save you from these trolls, we can help you save money on commercial, auto, and business insurance.
Yeah, he charged me less than he said he would, which is lying.
Get a quote online today at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliated and third-party insurers.
When the weather outside is frightful, the Hyundai Santa Fe is, what's the word? Delightful. Because it's got available H-Track all-wheel drive to make being out together better. Enter for your chance to win the newly redesigned Santa Fe, packed with all the jingle bells and whistles you need to go dashing through the snow together. To enter, visit Amazon.com/Hyundai or scan the QR code on specially marked red and green Amazon boxes. No purchase necessary. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
What makes Community Coffee different isn't just how long we've been around. It's how far we're willing to go in pursuit of the perfect cup. We select the finest beans and use 4 generations of roasting experience to give you a rich, delicious flavor. Look for us at your grocery store and online at communitycoffee.com.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. On the program, I have Maria Flores. She is an athlete and also a veteran of the United States Army. On the program, we talk about her athletic career, being in the military, and also we'll touch on some more topics. Maria is coming up after the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Robinson Show.
When the weather outside is frightful, the Hyundai Santa Fe is, what's the word? Delightful. Because it's got available H-Track all-wheel drive to make being out together better. Enter for your chance to win the newly redesigned Santa Fe, packed with all the jingle bells and whistles you need to go dashing through the snow together. To enter, visit Amazon.com/Hyundai or scan the QR code on specially marked red and green Amazon boxes. No purchase necessary. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. When the weather outside is frightful, the Hyundai Santa Fe is, what's the word? Delightful. Because it's got available H-Track all-wheel drive to make being out together better. Enter for your chance to win the newly redesigned Santa Fe, packed with all the jingle bells and whistles you need to go dashing through the snow together. To enter, visit Amazon.com/Hyundai or scan the QR code on specially marked red and green Amazon boxes. No purchase necessary. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
No matter where you are in your wellness journey, immune support is crucial. That's why you need quality immune support that you can trust. Nature's Way Sambucus is the elderberry brand that you can count on to provide quality, traditional immune support. We pick our elderberries at their peak to deliver an elderberry extract rather than a juice or a powder, so you know you're getting the best of what nature has to offer. Find your way to well with quality immune support from Nature's Way Sambucus. This statement has not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Get it.
When the weather outside is frightful, the Hyundai Santa Fe is, what's the word? Delightful. Because it's got available H-Track all-wheel drive to make being out together better. Enter for your chance to win the newly redesigned Santa Fe, packed with all the jingle bells and whistles you need to go dashing through the snow together. To enter, visit Amazon.com/Hyundai or scan the QR code on specially marked red and green Amazon boxes. No purchase necessary. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. When the weather outside is frightful, the Hyundai Santa Fe is, what's the word? Delightful. Because it's got available H-Track all-wheel drive to make being out together better. Enter for your chance to win the newly redesigned Santa Fe, packed with all the jingle bells and whistles you need to go dashing through the snow together. To enter, visit Amazon.com/Hyundai or scan the QR code on specially marked red and green Amazon boxes. No purchase necessary. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Get it.
Get it. Get it.
Get it. Get it.
Is she gonna get it, Daddy?
She'll get it.
Get it. get it.
When you bring home a Goodwill fine, you give your whole town a reason to celebrate, because you're also funding local job training and placement programs in tech, healthcare, and more. Goodwill. Bring good home.
When the weather outside is frightful, the Hyundai Santa Fe is, what's the word? Delightful. Because it's got available H-Track all-wheel drive to make being out together better. Enter for your chance to win the newly redesigned Santa Fe, packed with all the jingle bells and whistles you need to go dashing through the snow together. To enter, visit Amazon.com/Hyundai or scan the QR code on specially marked red and green Amazon boxes. No purchase necessary. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. When the weather outside is frightful, the Hyundai Santa Fe is, what's the word? Delightful. Because it's got available H-Track all-wheel drive to make being out together better. Enter for your chance to win the newly redesigned Santa Fe, packed with all the jingle bells and whistles you need to go dashing through the snow together. To enter, visit Amazon.com/Hyundai or scan the QR code on specially marked red and green Amazon boxes. No purchase necessary. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. When the weather outside is frightful, the Hyundai Santa Fe is, what's the word? Delightful. Because it's got available H-Track all-wheel drive to make being out together better. Enter for your chance to win the newly redesigned Santa Fe, packed with all the jingle bells and whistles you need to go dashing through the snow together. To enter, visit Amazon.com/Hyundai or scan the QR code on specially marked red and green Amazon boxes. No purchase necessary. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. It's now time for the guest on the program. We want to welcome to the program an athlete and also a veteran of the United States Army. She's going to come on to talk about her introduction to athletics and also being in the military and amongst other things. Let's welcome her to the program, Maria Flores. Hello, Maria. How's everything?
Hi, Ed. Fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you once again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program. So let's get right to it. How were you introduced? What was your introduction to the sport of bodybuilding? How were you introduced to the sport?
Well, my husband, he was my actually just a friend back then. I used to be a runner, and he was into bodybuilding, and he wanted, you know. So I asked him if he can train me for a show. Just one show, just to see, you know. I was always impressed by women in the magazines, how they look. And so I said, can you train me for a show? And I'll train you in running, because I used to run a lot. So I had him down, you know, because he wanted to lean out. So I trained him with the running, and he trained me with the bodybuilding. And so
okay,
and
very
I
interesting.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's
awesome.
Yeah.
Let's stay with it for a moment. You said that before you got into the sport, you were running a lot. Was that your first introduction to sports or health and fitness? Did you run for your school, or did you run like for a recreation department, or was just running was just a hobby you just enjoyed doing?
Well, it was a hobby. You know, being in the military, you always have to take a PT test, so. I got into running because it was relaxing for me. You know, when you get stressed out at the job, you just put on your running shoes and shorts and go for it, you know. And you do a lot of thinking. And that was how I did my running, you know, relieve stress. But then I found the gym, the military gym. And I started just lifting weights, just going around, doing some circuit training. And then I ran into my husband, a friend there. Back.
But, right, got
yeah,
you, got
I mean,
you.
Running was always part of my life, actually. You know, I was kind of overweight when I was young. So I ran before I went in the military to lose weight, actually, to get into the military. And then I just kind of just enjoyed it. You know, I'm not a fast runner, but I was a distance runner. I mean, I can go for miles. So
okay, awesome.
Let's
stay with I want to just go back kind of like to the beginning a little bit. I was doing some information on you, and it said you grew up on the island of Guam, which is, for those that may not be familiar with Guam, it's a U.S. territory. During your time growing up there, were you involved in any sports or any type of athletic activities, or you didn't, or you weren't really active until you got into the military?
I think I was more active when I got into the military. See, in Guam, my running was running to the beach and having barbecues. that was our sports activity. You run to the beach and, you know, get together with your friends and have volleyball games and stuff like that. And that was our activity. And then, you know, we play just little sports on the, you know, on the streets, play softball and stuff like that. Just fun games, not anything like real hard, you know. Just something, just fun stuff. But yeah, military is where I got my running, you know, running to the sport, you know, and the
okay,
weight
well,
and stuff.
Okay, cool. Well, now let's kind of get back and continue with your introduction to bodybuilding. So you meet your husband, who at the time was your friend, and as you mentioned earlier, that he taught you about the sport of bodybuilding, and you introduced him into running. What were some of the things that you liked about it, and what were some of the things that you didn't like about it at the beginning?
Well, I like the fact that, you know, as you start lifting weights, you get a little bit stronger, and you know your body starts to change a little bit. And I love the diet part, you know, having control of what to eat and stuff. Because you know I've always eaten pretty good, but to actually watch what you eat, you know, and then to figure out what does what to your body, it enlightens me about what food can actually do to your body, you know, and then the water depletion and all that stuff. But yeah, it's just the way, you know, the way your body changes and stuff. So, you know, and like I said, I've always looked at those women in the magazines, like how did they get those abs? You know, like, yeah, I've been running all my life and I can never get those abs. But the reason why I could never get those abs is I didn't really watch what I ate. I ate because, you know, I know that I was running everywhere, right? I did all that running. And I'm like, okay, because I'm running, I can eat anything you want, right? But it's not true. You can run and run and run and still, you know, still be skinny fat. People don't realize that, you know, you kind of are what you eat. But yeah, I was still skinny fat. I mean, I can run 5-6 miles a day, and I still can see my abs. So
right.
Yeah, but you know, with the bodybuilding, you kind of mold your body. You know, you sculpt your body, and I like it as I see the changes that I'm making. You know, I kind of enjoy it, and I got stronger too. You know, I didn't get like strong overnight. You know, it took years and years of putting time into the gym and stuff, and I learned how. I was a good student too, you know. I learned, you know, I listened and I watched other people, you know. I watched what they do and I asked questions and stuff like that. Now it's kind of turned around. no, I kind of trained my husband now. Believe it or not, you know, it's in reverse now. You know, I do so much reading and, you know, and I do our diets and stuff, you know, so it's kind of turned around now, but it's not an overnight, you know, change, years and years, you know, so, but yeah, I still enjoy it, you know, at this age, still debating whether I should do one more year as a competitive bodybuilder, because man, those girls are just phenomenal, you know. You look at them. You know, just standing next to them on stage, you know, I get amazed every time. you're never bored, you know, because you look at them and you kind of, so you talk to them, you ask them, you know, you get your strength from them, because it's like sometimes you want to give up, and then you look at them and it's like, you know, I can still do this, you know, even though they're a lot of them are younger than me. I know you know how old I am.
Well, yeah,
Yeah, father time is catching up. So
I'm still training.
I'm in my off season now. I'm still training as hard as ever. I'm still pretty much dieting, but it's another kind of diet. You know, this is the diet where you eat a little bit more now, you know. And believe it or not, I like the leaning part better than the bulking up. I'm not really used to eating all the food, you know. Push it in, and I do my best. But man, it's so hard to push so much food down to you, you know. So I'm kind of glad when the coach kind of changed. He took some of the food away. Believe it or not, I was happy.
Yeah.
I'm the opposite of what other people are. Huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to get into all of that in just a little bit, but I want to kind of go back to where you grew up in Guam. Was there an active bodybuilding scene on the territory, or was it just kind of like something else, kind of like just an afterthought?
No, in Guam, there was really not much bodybuilding back then, that I can remember. I mean, I was in Guam up until – I almost turned 18, you know. I turned 18 in the States, but there was really not much of a bodybuilding community back in the island, you know. There's one now. There's more bodybuilding events going on now, but back then when I was growing up, you know, the closest thing to bodybuilding was my brother. he was into the sport, you know. He watched everything he ate, and he was sculpting his body and stuff. But as far as outside the home, I didn't really see much other than what I, you know, see in the magazines and stuff, you know. And I really, really wasn't into it back then, you know. I was just, like I said, more or less just having fun. There was a gym in Guam, you know. We were military veterans. My father was military. You know, he retired. So we would go to the base gym and work out there. But you know, it was just more or less just circuit training. You know, you just go around and lift some weights and stuff. But, you know, I really didn't know what I was doing back then, you know. I was just there just to go and be with some friends and my sister, you know, say we went to the gym. But I was never serious, you know. And like I said, until just a few years ago, you know, or not, maybe 13 years ago, you know, when I really got into it, you know, I started reading more about the sport, and just, you know, that's how I evolved.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Now let's get into your career. Do you remember your first show?
Yeah, actually, my first show was Florida. I think it was it's called the Muscle Extravaganza now. It's Deb Callahan's show. Back in, I believe it was 2009, and so I go on stage, right? I mean, like I said, I was just kind of, this is my first a show on stage. So I go on stage, and then the music, it didn't come on, and oh my goodness, I was upset. The music didn't come on, so what did I just kept on posing and stuff, and then I went back after that that was the longest 1 minute. That was the longest 1 minute ever in my life. So I go back on stage, and I was so upset at my husband, and it wasn't his fault, and I started to cry, you know. And then the promoter Deb Callahan came to the back, and she just, you know, she said he did really, really well, you know. But I tell you, I thought that was it, right? I thought I was gonna quit, but I said nope, we'll do it again. Yeah. I was gotten for punishment, I guess. But that was my first experience. It wasn't a very good experience, but you know, it didn't hold me back. I did it again, and then the following year I did like eight shows the following year, you know. And I still really didn't know. I kept following whatever my husband was telling me to do, you know, how to eat and how to train and all that. But That was my first time in body, being introduced to bodybuilding, where I mean, you know, it wasn't my mistake, but man, I thought that was it. I, you know, and I think I'm not the only one that's happened to, you know, a lot of people, I'm sure they've gone on stage and their music doesn't come on. But like a true pro, and I was in the pro back then, I just kept on going. But, man, I was crying my eyes out in the back. Because I thought the audience, you know, I thought the audience can see it, you know. But the truth of the matter is the audience don't know what you're posing to. As long as you're hitting all your moves and stuff on stage, the music to me was irrelevant, you know. As long as you keep going, the music is in your head, you just keep on going. And the show must go on. So, yep, I didn't quit. And here I am.
Okay. Oh, yeah, well, yeah, here you are, and definitely you've improved during that period of time. And I'm looking at some of your contest history, and you definitely have improved since that period of time, competing, in various contests on the not just within the NPC or in the IFBB. Before you competed for those organizations, did you ever compete in anything like locally or regionally before you got to the NPC level, or has it always been like that?
No, it's always been NPC. You know, NPC is like a family to me. And back then, after my first year with me and my husband, we went and got a coach. It was, I don't know if you know Tim Gardner. He promotes a lot of the shows now, like the Rising Phoenix at Tampa Pro, Extravaganza. So he promotes that. So he was coaching. He was coaching back then. He used to coach us. And I got a little bit better under his tutelage. So we picked up with the team, and then from there we went and did the national shows. You know, like Masters National, because by then I was already a Masters competitor. After, you know, I started at the age of 47, believe it or not. No, 45. Turned pro at 47 or 57. Oh, see, I'm already lost my age. I wish I was 47 when I turned pro. I would have, you know, I have more years right now. I turned pro at 57. But I started with Tim Gardner after my husband and I, you know, we said, we better go get a coach, because it seems that everywhere we went at some of these shows and we were just going on ourselves, they would ask us who we're with, and we weren't with anybody, you know. It was just, we look at each other and I'm like, what are they talking about? Who are you with? Is this part of the thing where you have to be with someone in order to be, you know, looked at on stage? So we went and signed up with Tim Gardner, and we just went from there. But it's amazing how they ask you where you're with, you know, who you're with at some of these events. They want to know who you're coached by and stuff like that, you know. And it's like, does that really matter when you start your bodybuilding career? Does it matter who you're with? Can't you just make it out on your own? But suffice to say, you know, you're kind of starting to know that now, you know. It helps to have somebody in your corner when you go into some of these shows, you know. It helps to have a coach, not just being out on your own. Kind of, you have to have some kind of name attached to you, you know. Not that it really matter, you know, and it didn't really matter that I was coached by Jim Gardner, you know. I went on stage and they don't really, I hope to think that the judges don't reward you because of who you're with, you know. You know what I'm saying? I don't know.
Right.
Maybe I'm just naive, but sometimes I think it does help. You know, I don't know what your thoughts on that are. You know, do you think? Let me ask you this question: Do you think that it helps to have someone has a name associated with you when you go on stage?
No, okay. I don't think so. I mean, as long as that person knows what they're doing, if they have the expertise to help you with a competition, I mean, that's all that matters at the end of the day. And then, I mean, you've achieved results and you continue to achieve results, so it doesn't.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. It does. Yeah. It, you bring what you bring is what I always tell myself. You bring what you bring, you know. Yeah. And
absolutely.
Competition shows, you come to these shows and sometimes there's, you know, sometimes there's three girls, sometimes there's 15 girls, you know, sometimes you're by yourself. So, you know, you bring what you bring, you know, and if you get competition, fine. If you didn't get any competition, it's not in you, you know. You don't have to. Some people feel bad because they say, oh, I'm the only one on stage, you know. So what? You know, what are you going to do? You didn't. It's not your fault that some of these other people didn't come, you know. If you're the only one on stage, hey, you worked really hard. Savor the moment. Go for it. So what? You know, but a lot of people have this thing about, well, what will other people say, you know, that I won because I was by myself. No, you didn't. You won because you did the hard work and you're on stage. You know, you won already by being on stage. You know, don't let this stigma about, oh, you won because you're the only one on stage. No, that's not the case. So some of your listeners, you know, who think that they feel bad because there is nobody there, don't. Because, you know, you cannot control who comes and who doesn't, is what I'm
absolutely
trying to say.
Absolutely, you're right about that. And now let's move along now, kind of like to continuing in the sport. What weight class or weight classes have you competed in? And what weight class, I should say, what weight class or classes have you competed in, and what do you currently compete in?
Well, right now, the pro level, we don't have any weight class. But my first show at Southern States, I was 104 pounds, believe it or not. That's very tiny, and I'll never go back there again, you know. That's just very, very tiny. But I won my pro card at the weight of 121, which is I was a lightweight. But when I went on stage, believe it or not, you know how it's all an illusion. Pose down with the heavyweight, who's a good friend of mine, Pauline Nielsen. I don't know if you've heard of her. We were on stage for the pose down, and even though I was a lightweight, I still look very big up on stage. It's like a cartoon. You know, when I was looking at some of the pictures that they had of the two of us up there. So that was the lightest, you know, when I turned pro, that was 121. So now I competed this year. I think I competed at 135. Even though, like I said, we don't, at the pro level, we don't have a lightweight and a heavyweight. And I wish that they would, because, you know, I know that I can never achieve that really big look. You know, I'm only 5'3", and no matter, you know, I cannot go up and be a heavyweight. You know, my body just gonna carry that weight. Now, there's some that might. For me personally, there's just no way. And I hope to at least compete this. If I do another contest, I hope to be at least, you know, maybe 145. We shall see. I don't know if I can build that much muscle between, you know, stage weight last year, which is like 135 this season, and then for next season, I want to be 145. I seriously doubt it, but that's my ideal weight. I want to be at that weight. We shall see. My coach, Shelby Starnes, you know, he's I'm following his tutelage right now, you know, bulking up and stuff like that, you know, just eating a lot. We shall see, because once you start leaning down, you know, where the scale ends, I'm not sure. I hope it ends at 145, but I seriously doubt it, you know. That's my ideal weight. I'm one, currently, this morning, I was at 152. So 152, and the good thing about it is at 152, I'm not like, you know, there's real fat, there's big muscle, there's fat and muscles, you know. So I think right now I'm still looking pretty good at the weight of 152. We'll see. Every day changes, the weight changes. With that water, you know, you wake up and you're like, one day you're 152, the next day you're 148 with the water fluctuation. So we'll see how I end up, you know. And if this season, if we look at myself and it doesn't look like, you know, I'll be looking any, like, any different, then I don't know if I would stay on stage. But if I made an improvement, see, the thing with me is all about improvement. If I can improve, good for me. I was never one of those. I can honestly say that I was one of those competitors that I just like the joy of the sport. You know, if I win, that's just icing on the cake. You know, like my placing in Tampa Pro this year, I came in, what, third? I was so conditioned, you know, and I love my look. But then I went to New York Pro, 6 weeks later? I came in seventh. And I thought I looked better at New York Pro than I did at Tampa Pro. So just, again, it depends on the judge, you know, what the judges are looking for. And, you know, the judges, they're not always the same, you know, which is good. So, you know, as long as to me I improved, you know, then I've won. Now, if I look like I don't look as good as I did the last show, then it's kind of time to reevaluate yourself, you know, and say, take a break. Let's see what maybe your body is just tired, and you know, see where you are after you start eating more and training, you know, see where you are after a couple of weeks. So, but again, like I said, you know, you bring what you bring, and if the judges, you know, didn't like that look, then hey, I like my look.
Right. That's all that matters at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's all that matters. If you like how you look, that's all that matters. You know, I'm not going to pound myself. Yeah, I'm not going to pound myself. You know, I mean, how many people can do this, you know, really? At the age of almost, you know, I'll be 61 in July and hang with the young girls, you know?
Congratulations.
My skin's still pretty good, you know? It's not, like, loose, you know? So,
mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, let's get into the... as far as your contest history is concerned, do you know how many titles you've won thus far in your career?
You know, I haven't won any titles that I've always gone with a lot of these women who are Olympia. They're all Olympia calibers. Is that some of them, a lot of them are good friends. They're going to be on stage this weekend. And a lot of them are Olympia calibers. You know, they've been there. You know, they're Olympians. And I'm just a little girl from Guam who's just trying to hang with the big dogs, you know, with the big girls. And I'm just, you know, I'm just happy to be there, you know, with them and not embarrass myself up there on stage, you know. So I think the biggest placing that I made was my Tampa Pro, which was the third place, you know, win. So I haven't had any titles, you know, per se, you know, going up against Kelly Trevino. And I've been on stage with Alina Popa, you know, Maya Ash, you know, all these are big girls. They're going to the Olympia, except Alina, of course. But, you know, just to stand next to them, you know, and hold your own, you know, that was enough for me. And like my win at the not win but my placing at the Tampa Pro, you would have thought I won the Olympia, right? I was just so happy. I was just happy, you know. And then and some of the judges came up to me because they said, you know, we've judged you all these years and you've never looked this good. So I've already won. You know, it just makes me feel good that you know, those judges that have seen me come up through the years, you know, actually recognize me now, you know. They know me when I go places now, that, you know, they know who I am, you know. It feels good, you know, that I'm just not, you know, like I said, even though I didn't have a win or overall or anything, it just feels good, you know, that, hey, were you at the Tampa Pro? Were you at the New York Pro? Hey, we saw you at Chicago Pro. So, you know, they recognize me, you know, and it feels good, you know, he's this little old woman from Guam, you know, and I think female pro bodybuilder from Guam. I don't think there's any pro female pro bodybuilders from Guam.
Okay. Okay.
Because yeah, so just being that little island girl, you know.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, she's rocking that stage, you know, and like I said, I love that. I love to rock that stage. Let's see if I'm gonna rock it again this season. I'm still enjoying the sport, so we'll see how I do after I start leaning down, you know, after my. Because I've been away from social media, so people have kind of been messaging me, asking me how I'm doing, where I've been, you know. And I've just kind of been laying low for a little bit,
right.
Focusing on myself, you know. Yeah, you know, this social media stuff, sometimes it can get kind of very addictive. You pick up the phone and you start going into Instagram and Facebook, and before you know it, 3 hours later, you're still you're still pushing that, you know. And then, you know, the messenger and the IG people sending you. And, you know, you cannot answer everyone's message, you know. It just, sometimes they just flow in so much, you know. And you just, it's kind of like, you feel bad if you don't answer one, you answer one, you don't answer one, you know. And then finally I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to just take a break from it a little bit. And just focus on myself. And let's see if I can get away from IG for a little bit, you know. That I was surprised to see your message because I haven't really been on there, you know.
I appreciate that you had responded.
Yeah. I'm glad, you know. Like I said, I don't mind talking to people. I did a podcast with DD on the Spot last month, you know. So once in a while, I did CNN a couple years ago. You know, I don't mind telling people about the sport. You know, it is a very enjoyable sport, but you have to have the dedication and commitment to it. You know, you just can't say you're going to do it today and then tomorrow, you know, no, you can't, I'm not going to do it again. You know, you either have the commitment or you don't. You either want to do it or you don't, you know. And
exactly.
Some people think that they can just, yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, well, you know, speaking of the commitment that you talked about, like not everybody can be in the sport of bodybuilding, and definitely your commitment got you to you earning a pro card, which you mentioned earlier. This is a two question. I want to ask you, what year did you receive your pro card, and what steps did you have to take in order to earn it?
I got my pro card in 2017. 2016, I took a couple of first places at the national level. I did North America. I took a first place open there, and I took a couple of first place at the Masters Nationals in 2016. And you know, they only give one pro card to female bodybuilders, you know, in your weight class, and so and your age class. So I didn't get my pro card back then, but the only thing I really did, I changed to get my pro card was the fact that I was more focused. I did not cheat on my diet, you know. I did my cardio religiously. I did everything that the coach wanted me to do, and then I think I was more, determined also, because I'm thinking, you know, I got this close in 2016. I took so many first places. 2017, I'll do it again, and. But the thing about it, Ed, is I never really told people. I never, you know, how some competitors, first time they do a show, they say, "I'm gonna go pro." With me, it wasn't that, you know. I never really dreamt of it, you know. I did it because I enjoyed it, and I did it because my husband was doing it also, and I like going on stage, believe it or not. I like shaking my booty a little bit, you know. Just I like the reaction the crowd gets and stuff like that, and the changes my body makes. But I never, not once did I say, "I'm going to go pro." I never said that. You know, if it happened, it happened. But my point was in 2016 when I took all those first days, I'm like, "I'm going to go back again and let's see what happens," you know. And if I go pro, then I go pro. If I don't, it's fine. But I see a lot of competitors, they get so heartbroken, you know. And I've seen some cry if they don't get that pro card, you know. And it's me, and just like, you know, I'll just do it again, you know, because I enjoy it. And it's not, you know, being a pro doesn't make any money for me. In fact, we spend so much money to get to that level, you know. You know, you get a new suit, you know. And for bodybuilders, you need two suits, one for pre-judging, one for night show. You know, your diet, you got to eat so much. It's so clean, you know. So it's time-consuming. You know, you're cooking all the time, you know. You're training all the time, practicing your poses, you know. It's a lot of commitment. But in order for you to get where you want to be, you want to be committed. And for me, it was relatively easy because I don't have any little kids, you know. It was just me and my husband. So it wasn't very hard for me. It was just one of those things where I'm like, okay, it's time to go to the gym. Let's go do it, you know. And I just liked how my body just started to change. So it was a good road to going pro, you know. And when I made pro, I couldn't believe it. I just thought, you know, I was like, thanks for me. Because, you know, it was like I got rewarded for something that I enjoy doing. Just like being in the military, you know. When you get a medal, they give you a medal, and then like, why are you giving me a medal? It's my job. it's what I do. So being rewarded, you know, it was like icing on the cake. So that's
great.
You know, just like, yeah, hard work and commitment and dedication. You know,
absolutely. Well, your hard work and your dedication definitely helped you earn that pro card, and congratulations again on that. Now, you mentioned about getting ready for a competition and a diet and things of that nature, but when you're getting ready for a competition, what does your training normally consist of?
Well, my training consists of, you know, I train five days a week, and, you know, I rest 2 days. But instead of, you know, how you go from heavy to heavier, and you drop weight, your sets, I go pretty much more, a lot of reps and more cardio. I sometimes do my cardio if I need my cardio for one prep was not this prep, but my cardio one time was up to like, gosh, an hour and a half a day. So what I would do was split up my cardio session. So I would cardio first thing in the morning, you know, get up, empty stomach, do my cardio, have a treadmill or something. I just go out for a stroll, a walk outside, you know. And then in the evening after my weight training, I would do cardio again. And so the weights, you know, it was 10, 12, 15, lots of reps. And then I do the body part with two body parts per day is how I used to train. And then, you know, you rest. And that's how we did it, you know. And then now with the bulking, it's the other way around. I do heaviest, and I drop set. I go maybe 10, 8, 6 with the weight on your last six reps is heavy. You know, to the point where it's like you're really, really pushing it. And then sometimes I'll try to go heavier, and then I'll drop it down to four, you know, just to see how much I can get out of it. Fourth reps. So, yeah, that's what I do when I the difference between my bulking and my leaning down for a show, prepping for a show. It's just the opposite. You know, because you're stronger as you're heavier. When you're heavier right now, yeah, you're stronger. Like right now, I'm stronger now because, you know, I have more meat now. More
meat
in the body. Yeah.
So now we know that when, you know, getting ready for competition, the training is also important. But you also mentioned about, you know, eating, and you had to get better in terms of eating the right foods to get ready for a competition. What foods do you eat to get ready for a competition?
Well, yeah. For this show, actually, it was a very good prep. This coach that I have, Shelby, I mean, he's very good. So I eat pretty much beef, chicken. He didn't give me fish this time around. Last year with another coach, all I ate was fish. I mean, I was eating fish for breakfast, believe it or not. So I think this is the reason why Shelby didn't give me any fish this time, because I was fished out. And so I find that you don't really need to eat fish to thin your skin out. So this my diet for getting ready for a show was oatmeal. I ate a lot of oatmeal. I ate a lot of spinach and cucumber. And he had me eating 5 meals a day. And I would start my meals at about maybe 11 o'clock. So I would eat from 11 to 11 at night. And I just kind of stagnate my meals, you know, so to get the 5 meals in. But, I would eat a lot of oatmeal, blueberries, strawberries. So pretty much all the food groups except and I ate eggs and egg whites, like, it's coming out of my ears. But, the only thing I didn't eat was I didn't have any milk or anything like that. Now, on the cheat days, you know, because depending on how I'm looking, I'll get a cheat day or a cheat meal. So for that cheat meal, he'll say eat something that you eat about 1,500 calories for that meal, you know, and you can pretty much have anything you want. I like to have burger and fries, you know, I make it myself, or sushi, or sometimes I like to go and have Mexican food, and so that would be my cheat meal. But I don't get cheat meals all the time. The only time I got cheat meals was when I was getting closer into the show, like maybe a week out. I was eating, he was making me eat like burgers and fries like a couple of days before the show, because I guess I was trying to, he needed to fill me out because I was so conditioned or so lean for the show. But I didn't suffer. You know how a lot of people suffer for their when they start leaning down. I didn't suffer one bit. This is actually a very enjoyable prep. I can honestly say it was an enjoyable prep. I ate the foods that I was supposed to eat, and I had salt. That's one thing again. A lot of coaches, they take the salt away from their competitors. But with Shelby, he had me salt my food. That was a big thing, because when I used to prep for before, way back when, they would take my salt away, right? So for months, I wouldn't have any salt in my food, and I would burn my food to get the taste, to get the flavor of my food. And people in my unit, they used to get mad at me because I would go in the microwave and burn that food just to get some flavor in. But, yeah, just to get that flavor in, because that's probably why I was, for one show, I was 104 pounds, because I didn't really want to eat, you know. And bodybuilding is all about eating and eating the right foods and stuff. But now with this coach, I mean, I eat, you know, and he didn't take my Walden Farm syrup. That's very important to me. That Walden Farm syrup on your oatmeal, that it's very helpful. You know, when you can taste your food and like it, you can eat it. But if you're eating your food and you don't like it, it's not going to be a good prep. You're not gonna follow what he tells you. You're gonna cheat. That's why a lot of people cheat on their diet, because they're not talking to their coach. They're not telling their coach, "I can't eat this stuff," you know. So what they do is they go behind your coaches, eat something they're not supposed to, and then they wonder when they get their assessment why they look like that. Well, you look like that because you didn't follow what your coach told you to do. Now, if only you just explain to your coach that this is not the type of food that you can eat, things are a lot better. So you know, people need to make notes of themselves, talk to your coach, tell your coach what you can't or cannot eat, you know, because it'll help you in the long run. It'll help you with your diet, with your prep. If they know what you can't eat, what you can and can't do, it's going to be beneficial to you. You know, don't keep your mouth shut. The bottom line is, you're paying for your coach. Tell him or her what you can and cannot do, you know? And then they'll work with you. If they are a good coach, they're going to make it happen. They're going to work with you, and they're going to help you bring your best package forward, you know? So that's my words of wisdom. Take it for what it's worth.
Well, you mentioned about it, and it's good that, you know, I mean, again, with bodybuilding, it's all, everything is really connected to one another with training and dieting and the posing and things of that nature. But you mentioned some cheap foods like burger and hamburger and French fries and Mexican food and things of that nature. But what are some of your other, going into the next question, what are your favorite cheap foods that you like to indulge in?
My favorite, believe it or not, is nachos. Nachos is my favorite. Every time I'm done with the show, I have to go get some nachos. I like salt. I'm not I don't really crave for sweets. A lot of people, they say, oh, I want a chocolate cake or something like that. With me, it's a sweet, something sweet. And I like trail mix. That's all I crave for. I'm very easy, you know, and popcorn. I love my popcorn. But I don't go into the sweets. I bake, believe it or not. I can bake stuff, and I like to see what I've created. And so I bake for my family, you know. The grandkids come over, my son, you know, my husband. They love that stuff, you know. I make them, you know. It's funny, I would make food for them. Even now, I would make them meatloaf, stuffed meatloaf and all that, and I won't even eat it, you know, because I just don't eat that stuff. But show me some nachos, and I'm right there.
Yeah, what do you dress your nachos up with?
I I don't like a lot of cheese. I just like nachos and some meat on that nacho and some guacamole, some sour cream, and I'm in heaven. That, you know, some salsa, really hot salsa, you know, like. I like to put Insanity sauce on my food. You know, really, I don't know if you ever had Insanity sauce, but it's one of the hottest sauces in the world. And you have, you know, you just need a drop. But for me, I put like 3 or 4 drops now.
Oh, wow. When you said Insanity sauce, it sounds very powerful.
Yeah, it is. That's what it's called. I have to go to Amazon and order it. It's so good. I mean, and like now I use that because when I eat some of my food, I like sardines, right? You know, bite me. A lot of people hate that because they say, oh, it stinks. But sardines is actually a very good bodybuilding food. So I put Insanity sauce in my sardines, and I put a little bit of soy sauce and lemon and spinach. And I mix it all up with my jasmine rice. And there's a meal right there. And believe it or not, it's so good for you, you know, and it tastes good. But I think that extra Insanity sauce makes it insane. So you got to try that.
I love sardines. I mean, I'm a big fan. I've always been a big fan of sardines, so it's definitely right in my arena right there.
See, I'm not crazy. My family looks at me like, ew, why are you eating that? So they'll be eating their meatloaf, right, their stuffed meatloaf and mashed potatoes, and here I am with my sardines and my spinach and my jasmine rice all mashed up. And it's like, you don't want any of this meatloaf? It's like, no, I just like to make it because I like the way it looks right there in the bowl when it comes out of the oven. And it makes the house really smell nice. You know, I have yet to eat that meatloaf that I make. You know, and I'm a pretty good cook. You know, I don't really need to taste. I'm one of those, like, I used to cook like my mom, where you just, you know, put spices here and there, and you don't really have to taste it. You kind of just look. And you know, they love it. My family loves it. So it's like, you don't want this? Like, nope. You don't even want to taste it? Nope. I'm good. I'm sticking my sardines. I'm sticking my sardines.
Yeah.
I'm a sardine eating fool.
Oh yeah, well yeah. You stick to your sardines. Hey, the sardines are wonderful, man. Like you said, they have a lot of health benefits with the omega-3s and tons of great stuff in there, man. So nature, a lot of people. I mean, it's a food that more people need to eat of it. But like you said, a lot of people don't like the smell of it, man. But once you eat it, man, it's delicious. You can't get enough of it.
It's good stuff. Yeah, and
mm-hmm.
It's good bodybuilding food. People don't realize that, you know. And it's like, okay, well. More for me, you don't know what you're missing.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, but I must admit that I still, after I eat it, I go and brush my teeth. Yeah. It is strong. It's strong. And then, I don't know about you, but I add onions on mine. I chop up my onions and I put it on there. So
yeah, anyway, onions, that's a good combination right there.
There's a meal plan. If any of your listeners are looking for another meal to eat for their building bodybuilding food, that's a good meal right there. Sardines. Look it up. It's good for you.
Awesome to hear. Now, while we're still in the talking about the sport, do you have a preference when it comes to like competitions? Do you like to compete in drug tested competitions or natural competitions, or do you have a preference?
I don't have a preference, but you know the IBD, they don't test you, and that's the only organization that I would compete in. You know, they don't do any testing there, even for the Olympia. There's no testing. So that and I think I don't know. There's other organizations, but probably that have pro shows. But the IMDb, they're my family, you know. And I think the IMDb is more recognized than a lot of these other ones. So I've always gone to IMDb, and they don't test at all. But the only thing about IMDb that they don't do is they don't pay a lot of these women. A lot of my friends are competing. They don't pay them enough the way they pay the men. You know, $400,000 for the open men, and the women only get what, 90 or 60. I don't know what the pot is this year, but you know I think that's just wrong. That they do that, you know, it's just not fair. You know, the women, if anything, they work hard, if not harder than a lot of these men, you know. You know what I'm talking about, Ed? I mean, the way they.
It's not just in bodybuilding. I mean, I think it's just in all sports in general, really just in society, period. Just the pay scale has always been, I mean, so wide when it comes to men and women, especially in sports, is no exception to the rule.
Yeah, I don't think that's right, you know. And they really need to look at that. I think it's so unfair because, you know, like you said, not just bodybuilding, but everywhere, you know. It's so unfair to the women because they put in a lot. They sacrifice just as hard as the men, you know. And I think it should be rewarded, you know. And that's one of my beef with this with the sport, with any sport. You know, the women should be paid just as much. But that's just my two cents. It doesn't really matter. Another beef for me as a bodybuilder, that I wish that there was two categories for women, one with the lightweight and one with the heavyweight, you know. And I've said this before in another podcast. I've said it where, you know, I wish that the powers that make the decision, the powers, you know, these people that make the decision, take it back the way it used to be, that way back when they used to have a lightweight class and a heavyweight class for the Olympia, for Miss Olympia, and they took that away. Now, they should bring that back, you know. But I think the reasoning is because they have the physique category. So those bodybuilders like me, I think they want them to go down to the physique level. And this, you know, and it's not right because I like competing as a bodybuilder. I love the physique, the women's physique. I love that. But my heart has always been with bodybuilding. You know, as a woman bodybuilder, and I just because I'm smaller doesn't mean that I should go down to physique, you know, because they should just make it a level playing field, you know, because they always want the big, they like big, you know, and I love big too, but I just can't get that big. I mean, I would have to do something really drastic to get that big, and I'm just not willing to go get there, you know. So they should have like a, and I'm not the only one that feels this way. There's a lot of my friends, who are about my size, you know, maybe a little bit, some smaller, some a little bit, just a little bit bigger, but they don't fall into that category where they're huge, you know, they're big girls, And I wish there was a category for both, you know, physiques, lightweight and heavyweight bodybuilders, the way they used to have it way back when. Maybe they'll do that again eventually. And it probably won't be during my time as a competitive bodybuilder, you know. But for the future, I hope that they do it for those women that choose bodybuilding, you know, as a lighter competitor versus, you know, just this big girls, you know. Anyway, I'm rambling on, but you know what I'm saying.
Oh, no, I get exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
They, as they say, they just have to equal out the playing field. And if when you equal out the playing field and you level it up, you know, actually you can get more competitors because, you know, that pressure is lowered, that stress level is lowered tremendously.
Yeah, exactly. You know, a lot of the girls like my size, I mean, they're killing themselves trying to get that big, you know, real big. And it's like, for what? For 3 minutes on a stage, you know? For 3 minutes on that stage, you know? I'll stick to whatever I come out, you know? Once I start leaning down, if I lean down and again at 135, then it's 135, I'll be on stage, you know? To make a drastic move to try to get, you know, up to 160, you know, shredded to the max. I just can't, you know, I can't do that, you know. My body cannot hold that weight. Not at 5'3", you know, 5'3". And I'm content with how I look. And like I said, if I make improvements this year and, you know, God forbid I don't have any ailments or whatever, you know, then I'll do it again because I enjoy the sport. And if I place last, I place last. At least I went, you know, I did it again. And I'm still enjoying what I'm doing. So, and if I place high, I'll be happy. If I place low, hey, I did it. You know, I'm not, hey, this is, to me, I don't make my money this way. You know, I'm retired already. I've retired from two jobs, retired civil service, retired army, you know. I spend more money with the sport, you know, promoting the sport, you know, competing in the sport than I would standing on stage, you know, because I know that I would never make my money, you know, unless I do something else, you know. I just don't want to do the other stuff. I know some people do, and that's on them. But I do it. I spend more money doing it, not I don't make any money doing it, you know. So it's the sport that I'm passionate about, but I would not be rich out of it. You know.
Yeah, one thing is true. I mean, one thing is true is that when you enter it, you know, you really like I've mentioned it and you've mentioned it about the, you know, the discipline and dedication is something that you really have to be disciplined and dedicated to. It really has to be just a genuine love for it because, as you mentioned, you really don't make any money off of it unless if you, you know, like you said before, you have to get be at a certain level and then you get sponsorships and endorsements. But, you know, that's kind of like far and few between in the sport that you compete in.
Yeah, I mean, I you know, I get people, they say, you know, hey, you want to wear my shirt or whatever, you know, they'll message me, hey, you know, you want to do sessions, you know, and I'm like, what? Hey, you want to pose for, you know, these shoes, they have foot fetishes or whatever, and I'm like, no, I don't do sessions, no, I don't want to pose for your your foot fetish, no, I don't want to flex my biceps, you know, and stuff like that, you know. And they'll say, oh, we'll pay you big money for that. No, it's okay. I'm sorry. If I post pictures, it's pictures of me that, you know, that this is how I am. You don't have to pay me to flex for you or whatever, you know. Some people can do that and they're comfortable with it. I'm just not one of those people, you know, because believe it or not, there's some crazy one. They'll text me, you know, oh, let me. You want to do this for me? I'll pay you $500. You know, you know. I'm like, no, you can just keep your money because I don't do that kind of stuff. But you know, hey, more power to those people that can. You know, I'm just not one of those that will do that. You know, I just can't be that. You know, if I can't show myself, the only one that will show myself like that is probably for my husband. Just, you know, just for him. I'm comfortable with that. But to do something else that, you know, that will promote and make money, because they said, you can make a lot of money. No, I don't need to make a lot of money. I'm totally content with the money that I made at, with my retirement, you know. As I said, you know, it just depends on what you want to do. If you want to be a model and you want to do that, you know, make money that way, fine. I'm just not, I don't wish to make money like that, you know. I don't need to do sessions or whatever they call them. I was so surprised when they first asked me that, and I mean, the first time someone said, do you do sessions? Like, what's a session? You want to come to the gym and work out with me? That's not a session? And, you know, and if they hung up, you know, I was talking to my husband, he said, sessions, you know, this is what they meant by sessions. Like, oh, okay. Oh, no, it's okay. I don't want to do that, you know. But like I said, I'm not judging anybody who wants to do that. If they're comfortable doing that kind of stuff, then so be it. I'm just not, you know. That's easy money, right?
Correct. Yeah, you're right about that. I mean, everybody has their thing, but at least you know what you're capable of doing, and good that you know you stick to the, you know, the morals and principles of the sport. And speaking of the sport, one last question. I know, you know, people have their different mantras and their different ways of how they, you know, come into not just that particular sport, but just sports in general. But have you always, if, you know, you can answer this question if you like, have you always competed naturally, or have you, you know, from time to time, you know, gone and you know, done things to help, you know, train for a competition?
Well, I've, for so many years, you know, I've competed naturally. But then, you know, as a pro, you know, sometimes you need a little edge, but I don't go to the extreme, you know. I like to maintain my femininity. So I've had, you know, a little bit of help, you know. So I can say I've taken Anavar, I've taken Clan, but some of those really heavy duty ones. And that's probably why I haven't gotten as big. You know, because I know what can make you really, really big, Ed, you know. It's scary. I'm a little bit paranoid about that kind of stuff. And, you know, and even, you know, taking Anavar, you know, Clan, they still kind of scare me, you know, because I read all that stuff, you know. And so, you know, you're probably saying, well, why do you take it, you know? And I'm like, well, I want to, number one, I want to see what it does to my body, you know. And number two, in order for you to be competitive, you know, you say you have to, but I feel like you need to, you know. You need to take a little bit something, you know. So, you know, there you have it. I'm not going to lie, you know. But like I said, you know, those really, really hardcore ones, and I know you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, that scares me a little bit, you know. That's why getting your blood work done and everything, that's very important, because it's really not worth it. So, you know, there you have it. You know.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your honesty on that, and, you know, letting the listeners know and being honest and just letting you know, the kind of like pros and cons, I guess, if you displayed and just, you know, what you do currently in your professional career. Now, something that you know, honorable job, one of the honorable jobs in society is serving in the military, and you were a first-class sergeant in the United States Army. Just kind of tell the listeners out there just a little bit about your time in the military and just kind of like the things that, some of the positives that you picked up as serving in the military.
Well, actually, I could have been another a grade higher. I made the list to become a master sergeant, but because I didn't want to go go to the field and do that extra schooling. I kind of turned it down. So I could have been a master sergeant in E8. I just didn't. I couldn't take, every time I go to the field, I come back and I have issues with my health. So I just kind of, I opt out of that. But, you know, being a sergeant first class, I mean, that was, you know, being in the Army is actually one of the most rewarding things that I've ever done in my life. You know, you build that camaraderie, you've built so many relationships and friendships, you know, some of the people that I've, you know, I haven't seen in like 20 years. You know, you see them at the commissary, you know, sometimes you're just like, wow, how long has it been? But you build these friendships, you know. It, to me, it's part of an organization that I'll always be a part of, and I'll always be proud, you know, to serve, you know, my country. And, you know, it's like being in a family that really, I've always had a good experience in the Army. I believe some people, you know, have bad experiences. With me, my experience has always been really good. You know, it's what you make out of it. If you go to an assignment thinking you're going to have this lousy time, then you're going to have a lousy time, you know. But if you go into an assignment with your eyes wide open and, you know, you just make the most of it, you're going to have a great time. You know, you do what you're told, you know, and the Army, to me, is one of the best things that any young person, or any military, actually, a young person can go into and learn from that, you know, and you build friendships and you build a family, you know. Sometimes if you never belonged to anything or to anyone, you go in the Army and almost always you will belong to that group. Good experience in the Army. I encourage it. Encourage it to anybody, you know, any young person. So join the Army, go get yourself an education from there, you know. And they pay you and they feed you. But keep in mind, they say that the health insurance is free. No, it's not. You still pay for that.
Oh, wow. I mean, that's a first right there. I thought that was all taken care of, but you said you have to pay for that, correct?
You still have to pay for it. You know, that's why my husband never talked. I mean, not as much as you would at a health insurance, you know, anywhere, but I remember when I first joined the military, right, they say, your health insurance is free for life. No, it's not. Pay for that. The dentist, Delta, you know, you still have to pay, you know, and that much. And now we go get our teeth cleaned and stuff like that. We pay a little bit, you know, copay and stuff. So it's not free. You know, people, they say it's free. And it's not. They change the rules on that. I mean, it's still better than, you know, most insurance out there. But it's not free for life. They get you on that. That's just me being honest. So, but like I said, it's still a very good organization, you know. I really, really enjoy my Army career, you know. I was very blessed to finish my 20 years. I'm the only one in my family, because all my siblings, there's 9 of us, with the exception of 2 of them. So there's 7 of us that joined the military, and I'm the only one that retired out of it. So... I'm very proud of that. Yeah. All of them served only like 4 years, 3-4 years. I actually finished out my time. And, you know, I was always like the different one in the family anyway, you know. Went to trade school. They said, don't go there. Went to trade school because they said, don't go. Went to the Army because they said, don't go. And then I'm the only one that finished it, you know. I followed my father's footsteps. You know, he retired from the Navy. But it's a good organization, you know. So proud.
Indeed, and definitely we're proud of you, and thank you for your service to the country and finishing out and serving proudly. And again, thank you once again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program so quickly. Maria, before we let you go, I know you said that you're not really big on social media, but if people wanted to find you on social media, what platforms are you on?
You can get me on Facebook, you know, IFBB Pro Maria Flores, or in Instagram, XQUIZTAA. That's my handle on Instagram, XQUIZTAA, Exquisita. And yeah, those are the only two that I frequent.
Excellent. Yeah. Yep. Well, she's Maria Flores. She's a professional athlete doing her thing in the world of health and fitness, and also she's served the country proudly in the United States Army. And just follow her on those social media platforms and just show her some love. Maria, thank you so much for being on the program. And if ever you want to come back on, feel free to let us know.
I will, Ed. Hey, thank you so much. Appreciate you. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you. Well, that's going to do it for another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. I'm your host, Ed Robinson. And remember, put God first in everything you do, and you can't go wrong. Until next time, stick to the script. I'm out. Peace.
When the weather outside is frightful, the Hyundai Santa Fe is, what's the word? Delightful. Because it's got available H-Track all-wheel drive to make being out together better. Enter for your chance to win the newly redesigned Santa Fe, packed with all the jingle bells and whistles you need to go dashing through the snow together. To enter, visit Amazon.com/Hyundai or scan the QR code on specially marked red and green Amazon boxes. No purchase necessary. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. When the weather outside is frightful, the Hyundai Santa Fe is, what's the word? Delightful. Because it's got available H-Track all-wheel drive to make being out together better. Enter for your chance to win the newly redesigned Santa Fe, packed with all the jingle bells and whistles you need to go dashing through the snow together. To enter, visit Amazon.com/Hyundai or scan the QR code on specially marked red and green Amazon boxes. No purchase necessary. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. When the weather outside is frightful, the Hyundai Santa Fe is, what's the word? Delightful. Because it's got available H-Track all-wheel drive to make being out together better. Enter for your chance to win the newly redesigned Santa Fe, packed with all the jingle bells and whistles you need to go dashing through the snow together. To enter, visit Amazon.com/Hyundai or scan the QR code on specially marked red and green Amazon boxes. No purchase necessary. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. When the weather outside is frightful, the Hyundai Santa Fe is, what's the word? Delightful. Because it's got available H-Track all-wheel drive to make being out together better. Enter for your chance to win the newly redesigned Santa Fe, packed with all the jingle bells and whistles you need to go dashing through the snow together. To enter, visit Amazon.com/Hyundai or scan the QR code on specially marked red and green Amazon boxes. No purchase necessary. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. When the weather outside is frightful, the Hyundai Santa Fe is, what's the word? Delightful. Because it's got available H-Track all-wheel drive to make being out together better. Enter for your chance to win the newly redesigned Santa Fe, packed with all the jingle bells and whistles you need to go dashing through the snow together. To enter, visit Amazon.com/Hyundai or scan the QR code on specially marked red and green Amazon boxes. No purchase necessary. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. When the weather outside is frightful, the Hyundai Santa Fe is, what's the word? Delightful. Because it's got available H-Track all-wheel drive to make being out together better. Enter for your chance to win the newly redesigned Santa Fe, packed with all the jingle bells and whistles you need to go dashing through the snow together. To enter, visit Amazon.com/Hyundai or scan the QR code on specially marked red and green Amazon boxes. No purchase necessary. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Get it.
Get it.
Get it.
Get it.
Get it. Get it.
Is she gonna get it, Daddy?
She'll get it.
Get it. Get it.
When you bring home a Goodwill fine, you give your whole town a reason to celebrate, because you're also funding local job training and placement programs in tech, healthcare, and more. Goodwill. Bring good home.
Ugh, I have to do laundry when I get home. I have to lug all my clothes over to the washing machine. Then I get to put them in the dryer and accidentally shrink my cashmere sweater again.
Motorcycles make everything exciting. And when GEICO makes it easy to switch and save on motorcycle insurance, it's even more exciting.
I'm gonna fold all my socks into little balls! Yeah!
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Ugh, I have to do laundry when I get home. I have to lug all my clothes over to the washing machine. Then I get to put them in the dryer and accidentally shrink my cashmere sweater again.
Motorcycles make everything exciting. And when GEICO makes it easy to switch and save on motorcycle insurance, it's even more exciting.
I'm gonna fold all my socks into little balls! Yeah!
GEICO Motorcycle. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.